fighting the good fight of faith. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our pastor and teacher, Chris Gordon.
Well, so grateful that you have tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. On this Friday session of Abounding Grace Radio, we're going to take up the subject of the nation of Israel and this so-called replacement theology that has been so loosely coined and thrown around today. It's really been something that has burdened me for some time. And I want today to be a bit open about that and to express and look at what Scripture teaches regarding the nation of Israel, because there's so much confusion regarding this issue. What you carelessly hear thrown around today is the idea of what's called replacement theology. And what the level of attack is, what has been coined this, is really a tragic thing, because the idea is being suggested that Reformed folk teach that God has replaced Israel with the church. And I'm just telling you right now, that is flat out wrong. That is a mischaracterization. That is a slam. And unfortunately, there's no truth to that. What Reformed theology teaches is called a fulfillment theology. And what it's showing is that all of the promises originally, even when God made the promises to Abraham, he said very plainly that in him, all the Gentiles of the earth would be blessed. And so we've got to look at how these promises now come into fulfillment in the new covenant and see what happened and how God treats the church in the new covenant. So, you know, it's interesting. You can't help in the Gospels to see that Jesus was confronting the Jewish nation, and he said some things so plainly that I don't know how anyone can write these things off. Let me begin today with Matthew chapter 21. This is the issue of the fig tree. Remember that? Jesus returns into the city, and he's hungry, and he's seeing a fig tree by the road, and he comes to it, and he finds nothing on it but leaves, and what does he say to it? He curses it. Let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately the tree withered and died and withered away. Now, this was a symbolic thing, wasn't it? Jesus just wasn't into cursing fig trees. The fig tree all throughout the Old Testament was representative of national Israel. And the disciples see it and they marveled, saying, how did it wither away so soon? Jesus then goes on to deal with, in this very section, the chief priests and the elders who are questioning his authority. And Jesus then tells a series of parables. I want you to listen to this parable today. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. And he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? They said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of their seasons. Jesus says, have you never read the scriptures? Talking to the Jews. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Now here it is. Therefore I say to you, he's talking to the Jews, talking to the Jewish representatives of the nation. He's cursed the fig tree. The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. Now that is a powerful statement. What is that nation? What would be this new nation? God would take it from Israel and give it to a new nation. Now remember, they were the holy nation, Israel. They were the special people. Isn't it interesting how Peter describes the New Testament church? Listen to what it says. Uses all the language of the Old Testament. It says it very clearly. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's talking to Gentiles. A holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, who were once not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. What did he just say? God said, Jesus in that parable, I'm taking it from this nation and I'm giving it to another nation. And he just called the Gentiles his holy nation. Now people are going to have to deal with that. People are going to have to look at Galatians 6 and see why he calls the Gentile Galatians the Israel of God. Fascinating, isn't it? So what about the issue of replacement theology? Is this teaching that God has replaced Israel? Is this teaching that God has done away with Israel? Well, there's two passages that answer that question. No one in Reformed theology believes that God is just done with saving Jews. That's not true. The question is how is God doing? When is he doing that? What is happening with the Jewish nation? I want you to listen to Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by the hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Now listen to this. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. Who are the both? Jew and Gentile. He has made Jew and Gentile one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Look at this. Having reconciled them both to God in one body through the cross, putting to death the enmity. Now, he just said the distinctions are done. Galatians 3 says there's now neither Jew nor Greek. He's made them one. Anyone who is of faith is of Father Abraham. That's what Galatians is saying. And that's why Romans 2 tells us that a true Jew is no longer outward. A true Jew is inward, in the circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit and not by keeping the law. So this is a very dangerous theology that's being thrown around out there, that God has a separate salvation plan for Israel. Do you see what they've done? They have erected a wall again. Remember what clearly Ephesians 2 says. He's broken down the middle wall of separation between the two, Jew and Gentile. These Zionists today, and that's what they are, they're Zionists. They read the Bible wrongly. They have erected a wall. And think of the consequences of this, dear listener. Think of the consequences. Are they really suggesting that we should go, that the temple should be rebuilt, and that we should go back to sacrifice and offering? Are they really suggesting that? That is a denial of the gospel. That is the very thing that Hebrews says. You've trampled the Son of God underfoot. You don't want to go back to types and shadows, do you? You don't want to go back to the ceremonies of the law, do you? You don't want to go back to the blood of bulls and goats, do you? If you do that, there's no forgiveness for your sins. They've not thought through the consequences of their teaching very well. It's dangerous. The two have become one. The middle wall of separation has been broken down. And what does this mean for the Jews? Is God done with the Jews? Well, that's what Romans 11 answers. Romans 11 very clearly tells us what about the Jewish nation. I want you to listen to what Paul says in Romans 11 about the Jews. He says, I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who've not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so, then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, he began that section by saying, has God cast away his people? Has God gotten rid of Israel? Has God replaced Israel with the promises to the Gentiles? I mean, that's what everyone's saying today with this notion of replacement theology. What's Paul saying here? Certainly not. I'm an Israel. I'm proof. I'm an Israelite that God's not rejected. Right now, you know what God's doing? He's bringing in Jews all over the world. He's bringing them into Jesus. And they are saved no differently than anyone else. The two have become one. And the two who become one are the Israel of God. That's fulfillment theology, not replacement theology. And so Paul goes on to say, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, Israel's fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now, if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my ministry, if by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. For if their being cast away is reconciling of the world, what will their acceptance be from life from the dead? What's Paul saying? He's telling the Gentiles, preach the Messiah. Preach the Jewish Messiah. They're going to get really jealous. And guess what's going to happen? Some of them are going to be saved. So maybe these people need to start thinking about what they're really telling people. They're telling Israel they're okay today in their unbelief. They're telling Israel over there that it's okay for them to remain in unbelief because God has a plan for them in that. And I say to them, what a tragic message. We, just like any other nation and any other people of the world, have to call them to faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. Sending them money to rebuild the temple, sending them our support, telling them that they are the apple of God's eye, when in fact today they've rejected Jesus Christ, is an awful message for their souls. We need to do what Paul says here. What do we need to do? We need to magnify our ministries. That means we preach Jesus. Stop with the charts. Stop with the temple plans. Preach the Messiah. Preach the Christ. Show the glorious riches of Christ. Show that the gospel has torn down that middle wall of separation. Show that there's now peace between Jew and Gentile. Show that we are one in Christ. They might get jealous hearing that. They might get very angry hearing that. And the Lord is telling us here in Romans 11 that through that provocation to jealousy, some of them might become saved. So has God cast off his people? Certainly not. There's a remnant coming in right now. And the best thing the Zionists can start to do is to start talking a whole lot more about Jesus Christ. Whole lot more about the gospel. Whole lot more about what his blood has accomplished in tearing down these barriers. In tearing down ethnic distinctions. We're done with that stuff. We're done with that. The gospel is for all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. And as we together come in, as the Jews come in, I pray for them that they would believe in Jesus. As they come in, we form one holy body before the Lord, one holy nation, a people, a holy people who can proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Let's look at scripture on its own terms and see how beautiful and full the Israel of God really is. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries. We are thankful to bring these radio broadcasts to you as a listener-supported program. We ask sincerely for your both prayerful and financial support. Write to us, Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington, 98264. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.